And now a scene from last week's It's a Show.
Forever's gonna start tonight.
Karma's gonna get you. It's coming to get you. Yeah.
She ought to write a book.
Cause I'm stuck. Stuck on your love.
Okay, so this week I would like the theme music to last a little longer. Cause I just get into it and then it's over. It's Benny Hill, for God's sake. That's better. Welcome to episode
18.
18 of It's a Show. We're finally legal in Alberta. That's so awesome.
Congratulations, Sparky and GA.
Yeah.
No Louie, intern Louie.
No, sans Louie. He's off on sabbatical playing a video game.
I was going to say, he's probably doing a little Xbox one-on-one situation.
Xbox wanting. His friend got Titanfall, so they've been engaged in Titanfall. He hasn't gotten it yet because his birthday's coming up at the end of the month, so it's going to be a big surprise when he gets the $60 game Titanfall. Anywho, yeah, this will come as a complete shock, Spark. I left all of my notes on my computer at work.
No, not you.
So I had some gold on there. As I recall, I had some gold. We also have made contact with a Canadian broadcasting legend, Stu Jeffries from Good Rockin' Tonight.
Grab your board and suntan oil, surf's up. Good Rockin' goes back to the beach after this.
I don't care about your long-winded question.
Stu was the man. Well, is the man. His career's not over. He's a morning guy, successful morning guy at Boom in Toronto. And they play the 70s, 80s, and 90s hits. And this man knows music, especially from that 80s era. And I used to watch him all the time as a kid and just thought he was awesome and just had this affable style. Everybody liked Terry David Mulligan, too. But then Stu mercilessly kicked him out of the chair and became the new host of Good Rockin' Tonight.
Back in the day of 1985.
The program typically aired popular music videos interspersed with interviews of popular musicians who were passing through Vancouver while on promotional and performing tours, along with CBC's daily daytime music video program Video Hits. And I, if memory serves correct, that was Samantha Taylor who hosted that show. She was pretty good. The programs represented the only options for Canadian viewers of the mid-80s to see music video programming outside of cable TV.
That interesting.
Yeah, they were the pioneers of the VJ in Canada.
And if you're a young up-and-comer like I am, you may or may not remember Stu Jeffries from CMT.
Yes, absolutely.
Back in the day.
Yes, Stu did a bunch of work for CMT as well. Great guy, and he actually married a friend of mine named Anne Kane. The Duchess of Windsor, I call her.
She's yes.
And they're happily raising a lot of boys. I think there's three or something. And good hockey players, and that makes Stu happy because he's a huge hockey fan. It's looking good. If you want to check him out, he's on boom973.com. You can stream that live. He's got a good sense of humor. But the one thing I really appreciated about him, he had the knowledge for the music, and he had just this affable style, the way he interviewed people. And looking forward to catching up with Stu and having him participate in What the Hell's This Song About. I think we're going to tackle the Bangles hit Walk Like an Egyptian.
Ooh, that's a good one.
So since I'm noteless, desperate and noteless, we thought we'd turn to Facebook, and the first thing that popped up in the feed was 28 devastating truths about adulthood that nobody ever tells you.
And this is from the great site BuzzFeed. Do you go on here on a regular basis?
The only time I go on BuzzFeed is when I encounter it through a different post like that,
right.
And I go, oh, this BuzzFeed, I should look into this further, and I never do.
The BuzzFeed is I try to do it on a daily basis because there's a lot of good stuff on there, and then you can read the article, and then you can rate it with the different rates, like the LOL, win, OMG, cute, trashy, fail, WTF.
That's
right?
A great idea.
So that's fun. I like it. And then if I really, really like it, I'll share with my friends. And they may or may not see it on Facebook, but anyways.
Okay, so let's scroll down and see what's going on.
Number one.
Without warning, all your friends start getting engaged and having babies.
So true. And the great thing about these articles, they accompany pictures and GIFs. Or is it a GIF?
Intern Louie is very passionate about this issue. I think it's a GIF, and he will explode if we get this wrong. Like, he goes sideways over this. Okay, so is that Miley Cyrus?
No, that's just
Hannah Montana?
Maybe.
That's Hannah Montana.
So, without warning, all your friends start getting engaged and having babies, and Facebook becomes a torture device. It's so true. The constant photos of the baby.
So that bothers you as a single guy? You don't like your friends having a good life?
I'm happy you have a child. I don't need to see 50 pictures.
Petty individual.
my child is 1 month, 1 day, and 2 hours old. Nobody cares. I mean, yes.
Oh, somebody did this post on Facebook and made me outraged the other day. It's something about the weather and said, oh, this is a surprise. It's winter in Alberta and you're complaining about the weather. Shut it. Shut it. Yeah, oh, that's the one thing you comment about. Everybody vents on Facebook. Yeah. That's what the
that's what it's for.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if that's what it's for, but that's what
that's
they do.
What it's for.
I like it for interesting things, like, you know, coming across people like Stu Jeffries and remembering the good old days. But all right. So what's the title of this article?
Number two, 28 devastating truths about adulthood that nobody tells you. Number two.
Instead of being reassuring, checking your bank balance is like watching a countdown to homelessness.
It's getting towards the end of the month. I have done that twice today.
Me too.
I was like, oh, I need some milk.
I just spent $37 on Dairy Queen.
Wow. Who'd you feed? The army?
No, yeah. Well, my personal army, and two of them were not even there. So it's like, that's how much it costs. And I go, I pull up to the window and I said, are you sure? $37? Are you? And she goes, yeah, young girl, about, you know, eight.
Yeah.
I go, yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure you've done the math perfectly on that one.
I went to lunch at Five Guys, burgers and fries.
Oh, that was $38 for one guy.
Pretty much.
Yeah. And, you know, it's hard to justify because you look forward to it. It's got a nice logo. You go in there and they got the fries, loose fries in the bag.
Man, there's so much fries.
And they give you the peanuts, the shell. You can just shell peanuts and eat them while you're waiting for your burger, which is brilliant.
It's a great experience, but is the burger and the fries and the pop really worth $15?
Do you want to hear the most expensive burger joint I've ever been? Fat Burger.
Oh, delicious.
Fat Burger will make your wallet skinny in a heartbeat. I could not believe it. It was like $90 when I fed this van load full of people. And I'm going, Jesus.
Oh,
it's a hamburger.
You need a second job for that situation. Oh, okay. Number three.
There is an expectation that waking up early becomes easier with time. It does not.
Preach.
Okay, let's move on. You will constantly intend to start going to the gym. I want to get healthy. I want to get the healthy glow of someone who goes consistently to the gym without actually having to go, of course.
Me too.
Yeah.
I
just saw that last time. One of my buddies, he's a kettlebell instructor.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's just fucking looks so healthy and toned. He's got a good jawline, that, you know, wears his clothes well. And you're going, I hate you. But then you see a picture of him doing the stuff on there. And like, it's so hard.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You got to be.
Oh, there's a continuation.
Oh, regardless of if you ever actually do. I'm going to exercise. Hey, you want to jog to the mall and get some pizza? Yeah, that's my
that's
kind of
a
exercise.
Good time. Number five. You work tirelessly 60 hours a week to earn money for your tax collector and landlord.
Yeah, that's the thing. Eh? You know, you hustle and you need extra. My thing has always been cash flow. I need the cash flow, but it'll bump you up into a new bracket and then you pay more tax and you're actually losing.
Yeah.
But if you don't have the cash flow, you can't get toothpaste and toilet paper.
That's right. I was saying this to my friend the other day. I'm like, you know, working hard, you do all this work, you go in, you show up, punch the clock, and then like you die. And then it's all to work to die.
Holy God, we're depressing people on this podcast.
No, don't think that much.
But then you work
that's
hard.
That's why God created booze.
Work hard, play hard.
And even booze is expensive. Let me tell you.
Booze is expensive. I am so hungover today. I got
to
be honest with you.
We'll get to that. After 28 devastating truths.
Are we going to go through all 28? This is going to bore the shit out of everybody. Come on.
We should proofread.
We should have scanned ahead.
Oh, here, I like number six. And you spend the rest of your money on attending weddings and baby showers. Can I tell you, stop inviting me to your weddings, people. This is nothing but a money grab. I got to travel there. I got to dry clean my dress clothes. I got to buy a gift. I got to maybe spend the night
somewhere. I don't think it's
going to
be an issue after this.
Don't think it'll be a problem for
inviting
you.
Inviting me. See, we don't go to any, at our age, we don't go to any weddings. Nobody's getting married except for our friends' kids. No party, no matter how perfect, is as fun as being in bed without pants.
Yeah, that's Friday night because we went out for drinks at 8 on Friday night. This is after being home for 3 hours. I did not want to leave.
Yeah, that's the feeling. Like when you settle in a little bit and you're thinking,
pants are off and I got to put them back on.
Yeah.
People want me to make appearances. Yeah, being sociable is expensive and exhausting.
Being a big deal too. Number eight, no significant other, no matter how compatible, is as loyal as Netflix and Hulu.
That's right.
Yeah, Netflix is always there for you.
Love the Netflix.
They're consistent. And $8 a month.
Not bad.
You know, I have a feeling, this impending feeling of doom, that they're going to jack her up to 16.
It's going
to
get there one of these days.
Hey, by the way, what's the update on your big screen TV?
I have one more month to wait.
Okay, so you got to prove that you're a good boy and you're paying your bill on time.
That's right. I paid it lickety split last month.
If this happens, this is going to be the greatest scam ever. He's Bark's getting a new TV from Telus. Okay, number nine, you cumulatively. That's like a boom. Look at how it's spelt. Like, how can I pronounce it? You cumulatively spend several years of your life just dusting, vacuuming, and wiping things.
True. I looked at my kitchen table and my coffee table. I'm like, I just dusted 3 days ago.
I know.
Where's it coming from?
Well, the thing is, too, yeah, this season is weird because now it's starting to get a little drier out and whatever.
Yeah.
A buddy of mine told me to buy the cheap furnace filters and just keep changing them all the time. So, because an expensive one is like, whatever, it's $20 or something. These were a pack of three for 20, right? So I've been changing them all the time. They're filthy and gross, yeah. But I mean, I'm thinking maybe eventually I'll catch up.
Maybe.
I got to get the ducks cleaned.
28 devastating truths about adulthood that nobody tells you. Number 10, you endure a lot of bizarre hair and makeup mishaps.
Yeah, before I'm going through a hair problem right now. I just want to shave it right off.
Before you finally figure out how you're supposed to look. I'm in that mode too where my really nice short haircut is now, it's too much. And too I don't much. Know what to do with it. And I've got the curls and I'm over
just
it.
Just shave her down, man.
I don't think I'd look good bald.
No.
Don't think so.
Eventually, we will all turn into our mothers and fathers. Generally, this is a privilege. I don't know what that means, bit. But the thing is, it's already happening. Back to the thing. I think you should try bald. You never know. Your hangovers will always be far more painful than your drunkenness was fun. Well, yeah, there's some truth to that. We had a ton of fun last night, but
there's a lot of truth to that. Number 13, you have to work to acquire things that used to just show up, like utensils and trash cans.
What does that mean?
I think furnishing a house. Like when you live at home, everything's there.
Oh, yeah. That's everything's what they're saying. When you're a kid, everything's. I remember one time asking, I think it was like 7 or 8 years old. I asked my dad, mom, I said, how did you get all this stuff? Like we have a vacuum and then we have spoons and forks and bowls and, stuff to make stuff. And how did you make this happen? Because this looks like a lot of money was invested.
Oh. Is this really 28 things?
14. The fairy tale romance Disney reared you to want is much less enticing than finding someone who just gets you.
I don't get that one.
I think it's because Disney set us all up to fail with the prince and princess thing. You know, it's unrealistic.
And talking crabs.
Yeah.
Well, and mermaids with seashells.
If you got talking crabs, you better see somebody immediately. That's a Disney humor right there because the kids won't get it, but we did. When you're professionally successful, people haven't talked to you in years suddenly want to be your BFF.
Well, you
I haven't
are,
experienced that yeah, yet.
You haven't experienced.
No.
You were
no.
successful. Are successful.
Mm.
Where it was a big deal, is a big deal.
Yeah. Me and Stu Jeffries, I think, are in the same boat with that. He was a bigger deal than, way bigger deal than me, but a bigger deal than most back then. And he probably got paid peanuts.
Yeah.
It was all an illusion. He was lucky to, get enough money to buy Kraft dinner.
Number 16. And when you're not, you're the one sending, hey, how's it going? Texts to people you haven't spoke to in 10 years.
This is getting boring. I'm bored.
I'm bored.
Are you bored? Let's abandon ship.
And that was 28 devastating things about growingup.com.
That no one cares about. Hey, you know what I was thinking of? I was at my house and my iPhone went down. Okay. So it turned, I was at the,
dead
at down the function out. And it started vertical lines of all different colors. And I couldn't reboot and slide the thinger on top. Won't let me slide.
Your screen was a disaster.
Oh, I couldn't talk to people. I had to hold it an inch from my ear for fear of cutting my ear off with the shards of glass on there. And of course, it's all my fault. I know I didn't take care of business. So now I'm effed. So then I'm trying to contact Spark because all the numbers in there, I don't know your number. It's all on the thing. Then we got no Wi-Fi in the house. So I'm trying to fix the Wi-Fi and I'm scrolling down and I thought this could be a fun thing we could do from It's a Show World HQ right now is see what your neighbor's Wi-Fi names are.
I love it.
Yeah, because people have the weird names. Man,
because I recently changed my name. Yeah.
Is it fun?
Well, I like it because it's a Craig Ferguson reference. I bet he doesn't use his reference a lot anymore, but yeah, let's do that right now. Mm. I'll just pop it up. So here's mine.
In your pants. In your pants.
Because when Jeff the Robot first came onto the scene, he wasn't live. There wasn't a live person voicing him. It was all pre-recorded messages. And a common phrase, like one of the five phrases, was Jeff saying, in your pants.
So, okay, so that's fine. I get it. That's awesome. Okay, so what do we got? Blah, blah, blah. Nothing. My network.
Proc, my network, Sue596. Hot tamale.
There we go. Bingo. Where's the bell?
Bingo. I gotta get the bell. It's over there.
It's always inactive. It's always out of reach.
Oh, now you're a ray.
My microphone is askew.
and laptop. Okay, so very uneventful neighborhood that I live in. To be fair, I think
you're the standout there in your pants.
I think the average age of the people live here, probably 64.
Yeah, there's like 600 apartment units and we got 9 Wi-Fi people.
You know who's back? Because I started to sleep with the window open at night because it's that time of the year where it's not
shopping
too cold.
Shopping cart guy
lives in this building.
And he's like cruising for cans.
4-ish or 5-ish in the morning. No, he delivers papers.
Oh.
But he's, honestly, he is like.
Oh, I thought he was a can collector. No, he's got a legit job.
He's like 60 to 65. I've seen him. Like, I wake up, jump to my window because for the longest time, I just heard it, but I would never see it.
Yeah. So it's got one squeaky wheel like Walmart.
It's just.
Like a Walmart cart.
You know, you go over the sidewalk cracks. It's just like the rattling of the empty shopping
cart. What time are we talking about here?
Like
should you be up?
4 or 5 in the morning? No, I should not be up. He should not be out at that time of the day.
You're upset about this.
He is old. He could die. And he shuffles.
Maybe he's got a medical alert thing.
He does like the zombie shuffle. That's how he walks. I'm like, I think you should just.
He's doing that to pay his rent, probably.
You probably make 4 cents a paper.
Oh, yeah. It's.
That is no life for old folk.
I'm telling you, man, when we had our house in BC, we had a third of an acre backyard and it went right down the bottom of this hill. And at the bottom of the property was this old guy who lived there. And guess what his favorite little toy was? A tree chipper.
So
he'd be jamming branches in there at 6 a.m. on Sunday morning, and I'd yell from my window, but he can't hear me
because the chipper's
going. And I finally, one time, I had to put pants on, as we were talking about, what a painful thing that is when you don't want to, and go down there and say, guy, I'm going to lose it.
Yeah.
And I don't think he understood that.
The thing about the early bird gets the worm, sometimes that is not true.
No.
So,
and you got to really think about in this day and age when people are on the go lots
all the time, yeah,
and stressed out, the home is the sanctuary, which reminds me, I got to put up the no flyer thing. I cannot I'm buried in flyers. Good God, there's a lot of flyers.
You know what?
They're relentless.
Such a waste.
After the zombie apocalypse, you know what? They're still going to be delivering flyers to my door. They never stop.
So do you just put up a sign and they'll
read
the sign?
Yeah, and you know what? I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be a dick. And some of those, you know, you get them at Staples and they're like a gold sign that goes on a desk or whatever. No junk mail. I thought we could do something funny like, you know, save a tree and, you know, ring the doorbell.
And leave me alone.
Leave me alone. I liked that. That was funny.
So last night you went out with the friends and the misses. You went out with the misses last night. Saw your photo.
Yeah, she's a teacher, so she wanted to rip it up because this is her spring break to kick off the spring break.
Nice way to kick it
off. Just finished report cards and all that pain. And so we went to a Travis Tritt concert.
I smelled T-R-O-U-B-L-E.
Man, this guy, he's aged well, Travis Tritt. I don't know how old the guy is, but he looks good on stage, still got it, still hits all the notes, and got a huge catalog of hits that you forget about, right? Like, I'm a member of a country club. He's got to put some drive in your country anymore. It's a great day to be alive, which people love. And when he played that, people just went wild because I think everybody's got so much spring fever right now.
Totally.
The whole thing ended at a respectable time, 10:30. But I was told previous to that, we're not going home after.
Oh,
we're
and?
Not, Mr. Old Man, we're going to dance. So nice. We went to Bellini's.
Classic.
And yeah, it was classic. Average age was 8. 9. And then we went over to Billy Bob's, got in through the back door.
Oh, because I know VIP.
Somebody.
Somebody knows somebody.
First, there was a note, hand in the face, then my shirt with the particular logo. Then we had the all access pass, which was very cool. Went through in there and jammed in that place. Jammed.
It's always a popular joint, yeah.
Tough to dance on that dance floor because I don't know a lot about dancing, but the kids don't know how to go in a circle.
No,
they just go bang, 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 smash into each other.
It's like,
right?
It's like what's that game?
Yeah. Yeah. Pinball.
Yeah.
Pinball.
That's exactly
what's that game? Oh, my God. We got to search for the name of pinball. Enjoyed that. And then we went back to Bellini's for more action later and visited with some friends. And my ears are still ringing, though.
It's a loud jumping place, yeah.
Well, between that and the Travis Tritt, and the sound was good and everything, but 1,500 people jammed in a room, everybody yelling, talking at each other. And,
yeah. Oh, especially if you're like conversing, you got to be, you know, above the music and it's just yelling. And
I love talking to people. There's so many people there from different walks of life that do different things and just interesting. Yeah. Right?
I was at the nightclub on the Friday night. We went for an impromptu genius because we have a supply of gift cards that we get for, you know, good behavior, you know, flushing the toilet at the office. You get a gift card. So
that's good.
We went to the place where the gift cards are used, and I never thought about this before. Use them for drinks. Mm. That's genius, of course.
Forget about the meal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who cares about the food?
We used the gift card from our Christmas party there, Teresa and I, and we had a nice pre-dinner at Earl's.
Yeah.
Gift cards are king. Yeah. I love gift cards.
So we were like, we were pretty much drinking like there was no tomorrow because we all had a gift card. And so we're like rounds here, rounds there. I was drinking the spiced rum, which go down in like three gulps. They're so delicious.
I know.
Then we had like three or four shots of tequila, which tequila, I felt it.
Tequila.
Yeah. Then we went to Bellini's and danced it up. You know what? I was feeling pretty good. I was intoxicated, but I don't know if I was drunk enough for some random girl to start grinding up all on me.
Oh,
like if they just
that was a problem for you, was it?
I don't know if it's a problem because I'm
you're old fashioned.
I'm awkward in those situations.
You like to grind first.
I don't know what to do. Do I just that would stand there and accept it? Or
that was happening all over.
Do I like touch or do I like, because I don't know how to dance.
I cannot advise you on this at all because I have no idea about the grinding.
And it's interesting. And I have forgotten that the bar at 2 a.m. gets very sexual.
Oh, and you know what else? Fights. Oh, epic RCMP involvement, blood, everything. And I'm going, okay, it's time to leave now. RCMP officer, very cute. Like about yay high and look like a model. And she's trying to break up fights. And I'm going, boy, this is not going to turn out well. And her partner was a normal sized guy, no bigger than me. And I'm going, huh, this is not a lethal combination, these two. Mutt and Jeff out there.
One of them yelled at us. We were on the main road, trying to get a taxi. By slightly, I mean maybe two steps off the curb.
Yeah.
They pulled up, get off the road or go to jail.
I was like, that's a good option. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Gotcha. So, but yeah, that's the thing. They don't let you hail a cab like in New York in a real city.
That's what I want to be. I want to be like in New York.
I want to hail. I know. We got no hailing. Sucks. And the cabs in this city, the situation is dire.
It's very sparse.
And two people scammed our cabs, even though I called, and they took them first, these drunk kids. And I'm going, I don't like standing outside when it's cold and waiting for a cab.
And you know what? I saw a van pull over. One guy gets into a cab van. One guy. Uh-oh. Cab van. No update from Stu Jeffries. Just checking because you have a new notification. So you're very popular here.
Oh, yeah. Rod Freeman invited me to play Casino Star.
And don't forget Words of Wonder with Ingrid.
Ingrid Todd would like me to play Words of Wonder.
Save the date there. But I haven't felt so hungover in my life for a long time. Saturday, I didn't speak to anyone until I went to the KFC to get my car. It wasn't at KFC, but they were nearby. I was like, I need some grease. 11:30 in the morning, and I went to place my order. Oh. I was
so low. Well, we wanted to, when I say we, I mean me, I wanted to get McDonald's last night with the cab. And she goes, we only have $11. We're only going to make it home barely and I won't have the tip of stuff. We didn't go to McDonald's. So today I went to the DQ and went, you know.
Had the family feast.
Penniless. Hey, the grease board.
Yeah.
We did it last week and we haven't even used it. What's, okay, so.
Is everything on
did
par
you,
there?
Did you ask, did you do the updates that I sent you when I told you about?
Yeah.
Brady Sim. Blah, blah, blah. Brady Sim's our biggest fan. He wants to sit in on this action someday. Is that cool?
Yeah, that's fine.
He doesn't have to talk. But no, he's a pretty good talker.
He can observe.
I think he should be our hockey analyst for the Stanley Cup Finals because he's really into hockey. He's very astute, and he'll have some good insights.
I'll throw my jersey at him. It'll be great.
Because I don't think we'll get George Strombolopoulos. And Leo, I see right here on Twitter, Leo said, sorry, kids, can't commit for this Friday. I will try you with some alternative dates.
So he's going to check his black book and let us know what the scoop is. So
besides having a real solid beer connection because his father is part owner of a brewery, Leo also has the world's largest elastic band ball that he made himself. It's right there on his Twitter pic.
Slow day at the office.
Many slow days. And Uncle Dwayne, I'm thinking Dwayne Steele's going to sing and hang out on next week-ish. We got Randy Bolton for sure.
Yeah.
Just like we had Stu Jeffries for sure today.
Of course, and Kim Mitchell 5 weeks ago.
No word back from the Mitch. Oh. And I alternative forms of media. I hit him on Facebook and the email.
He's like, this guy will not leave me alone.
No.
Get the hint.
Yeah. And I tried to be funny and disarming, you know, my charming qualities that I have. But we'll see. We'll see. Never say never.
That's like a Justin Bieber song. Never say never.
Interesting thing, before we leave the Travis Tritt situation alone, do you know that if we look on that on Wikipedia, I am sure it is because of Travis Tritt that the Eagles got back together.
Well, let us take a look.
Because he did Take It Easy. He did a cover on Take It Easy. And after the, he recruited all of the Eagles to do the video with him for that song, which was a killer video. And then all of a sudden, the Eagles are, the feud's over. They buried the hatchet and they're on tour.
What is the year on that situation?
It'll be mid-90s. Take It Easy, a song written by Jackson Browne and Glenn Frey, most famously recorded by the Eagles with Frey singing lead vocals. It was the band's first single. Released on May 1st, 1972, peaked at number 12. The video for Tritt's version featured the Eagles lineup from 78 to 80, precipitating the Eagles regrouping for a new album and tour the following year. Yeah.
Bingo bongo.
See? See what I'm saying? Country guy gets the world's greatest band to get back together.
Do you like my new accessory that I brought to the studio?
Elton John. Bobblehead. That's a beauty. Where'd you get that bad boy?
Got that from the local universalpeople.com.
Man,
Universal Music people.
I got to suck up to somebody. That is sweet.
I'll tell you why I got that, because I don't know if you knew this, but Elton John's Million Dollar Piano, the big Vegas show at Caesar's Palace, for one night only, is coming to a theater near you. And for our Canadian listener friends, it is the 26th Wednesday.
Oh.
Piano was mentioned and the fact that it might have LED screens. That's when I really started getting excited. Cool. I gave him the brief and I said, listen, it's got to be glamorous, it's Vegas. It has to be a little over the top.
Wow.
It focuses on the music from the entire catalogue of my career. I'm playing something that would go in the Smithsonian. And it's just worked brilliantly.
From Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas, home of the Million Dollar Piano, to cinemas worldwide, it's Elton John. I'm still there. Yeah, yeah, yeah. With hit after hit, it's the concert of the decade. For one night only, Elton John at his all-time best. Elton John and his Million Dollar Piano, coming to cinemas one night only. Book now.
So that's pretty cool. One night only.
Yeah, I mean, spectacular visuals, incredible. I want to say that I don't know if that's Elton's best performance ever. Like, you hear him singing? Holy crap. He was here in this village, and people went and they said the same thing. His voice was a little bit torched out.
Yeah, so.
I mean.
You know, years of singing and singing, it's got to take a toll.
You know who sounds great still is Billy Joel. And he was on Fallon. Did you catch that clip?
Not yet.
Oh, my God. So Fallon's got this iPad app.
Yeah.
And it's called Looper. And it's got four circles on it. And you press the circle and then you record and then it starts looping. And then so they did The Lion Sleeps Tonight together on The Tonight Show, just sitting there at the desk. And it was money.
Awesome. 4 minutes and 20 seconds of gold, I'm sure.
Yeah, we'll share that on our It's a Show Facebook. And same with our Elton John bobblehead.
Why don't we do this when we have musical guests, a.k.a. Randy Bolton, Dwayne Steele?
Get the app?
Yeah.
Get the app? We could try.
I'm going to look at the app.
I'd rather play War for Drinks. But
let's do that too.
Yeah. I wonder if Randy would be into a War for Drinks.
No tequila shots, though.
Mm-mm.
Tequila kills me.
So much gold out there. Kevin Bacon, it's the 30th anniversary of the iconic movie Footloose.
Cutting it loose.
You know what? It's a show. We should feature my interview with Dean Pitchford, who created that movie. Wrote the movie, wrote the soundtrack with a bunch of talented movie people and or music people. And interviewed him for like an hour and I cut it up into little chunks. We should do that. 30th anniversary. No positive reaction over there.
I don't.
It's Footloose. Yeah. Seriously.
I'm turning it loose. Footloose. Seriously. Kick off your Sunday shoes.
Hey,
please, Louise.
We got a comment on Twitter about the changing of the It's a Show shout-out segment.
Yeah, we had a little groupie listening session, I guess, from what I understand, the other day. Then I got a mysterious text from a friend who I did not have the number saved in the phone, so I didn't know what.
Who is this?
So I was like, who is this? And they're like, how do you not know who this is? I was like, because obviously we've never talked before on here. So that's awkward. That was my friend Jenny. Jenny and Miss Kate.
Yeah, and they said, listening to the show while driving in the city with Jenny. P.S. Love the new shout out title,
which is
Who's Awesome?
You're Awesome.
Yeah.
I don't remember talking about McDonald's, but apparently Jenny disagrees with the McDonald's choices. She says McNuggets.
I don't remember that.
Does that mean it's she never run out of McNuggets? Because we talked about the Shamrock Shakes.
Shamrock Shakes.
You had an outage situation.
Yeah, I went there and they were out and I was flabbergasted and appalled at the same time.
I always say there's three things you should never run out of: fries, burgers, milkshakes.
Yeah. Apparently. And we said they could shut down the strawberry shake machine and put the Shamrocks in because it's limited time.
So I'll have to clarify some research on that.
But who's awesome?
You're awesome.
Miss Kate and Jenny.
And then I am into Wahlburgers and I am people.
Oh.
Remember that debate?
So we said
you're all about the show, and I'm like, I have not heard of this show ever.
Okay, see, I love her even more now. She should get a double shout out.
And then, of course, future guest of the show, Randy Bolton, says, looking forward to it. Thanks for the invite. Hashtag you rock. Hashtag Karma video music link is right here.
I haven't seen the Karma video. I feel bad.
So good.
I'll watch it before the interview.
It's so good.
So I'm in
school. It's a catchy song.
Na, na, na,
sing
na,
it again.
Na, 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 na. Some the Karma, Karma, some the na, 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 na. Well, you had it last week. Karma's going to get you.
Karma's going to get you. It's coming to get you. Yeah.
I'm really hoping it's less creepy than really, that in the real version.
It's really good. I like it. So she's fun. She's cool.
She's nice.
When she makes it big. And I say when, because she will.
Oh, yeah. She's got
incredible. She'll remember the little guys of It's a Show. She'll take us national.
Yeah. Maybe she'll do a little episode with us from the green room of Fallon. That'd be awesome.
She'll take us worldwide. Mr. 305, Dade County.
Okay.
That's Pitbull, in case you don't know.
I have no idea what you're saying.
You were in Bellini's and you probably heard Pitbull. Oh, man.
I heard everything, but I have no idea what I heard.
The music there, it makes me happy because I was stuck in the country world. Not that there's anything wrong with the country world, but I kind of forgot about the other music.
Yeah, that's what you tend to do.
And then
when you're getting paid.
And now I'm all like jamming and catching up with life, and I just love it. I love all music, really. Speaking of music, I want to tell you about the Name the Tune contest that I was involved in over the weekend.
Okay.
I think we did pretty well. Like, we weren't sure how we fit overall, but I think we crushed. We were easily top 10, I want to say, maybe top 15
right, out
of a possible 30 to 40. That's just
ballpark. I find I'm hot and cold in that game because I've heard lots of music in my life, but I have a terrible memory.
Yeah.
But sometimes I am on fire and I can't be beat.
My specialty was the Canadian country category.
All right.
Because I had a lot of experience. And I was a little surprised. Not a lot of 90s or now Canadian country. A lot of old school. We got 9 out of 10. There was some Terry Clark. Shania Twain was the obvious one. I got the Anne-Marie Snowboard.
Snowboard. Anne-Marie, that'd be a good new hit. Anne-Marie and Snowboard.
Snowbird in like a second as soon as that came on. And the one that I didn't get was Hank Snow.
So wasn't I Been Everywhere, Man?
No. Okay. But I felt the pressure because my team was like, oh, you're the Canadian country guy. You
this
like
is
that
it.
Stuff.
You answer everything.
I was like, oh, I'm nervous. And the heartbeat and sweats.
And I was like, we were
being
in pajamas.
Put on the spot. It was intense.
What was with the pajamas?
Well,
that was the theme?
It was an ongoing debate with the team. We started debating about costume 9 a.m. on Friday. It went on until about 10:30 Saturday morning. We were talking in person. We were talking via group text. What do we dress up? Plaid, flannel, Santa suits, this, that, left, right, up, down.
Santa suits. Okay.
People were just... Then someone in the group is like, all right, so-and-so make the final decision. We'll go with that. That person makes a final decision, and then the person overrules that decision. I was like,
You overrule?
You just said
Allison Redford.
Come
on. Overruled.
What's going on here? Love life update.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time once again for a Sparky Love Life update.
Her name was Lola. She was a showgirl.
I don't understand. Things were going so great. What happened? Something must have happened.
It's not you. It's me.
When you're hot, you're hot. When you're not, you're not.
You're giving me the it's not you, it's me routine? I invented it's not you, it's me. Nobody tells me it's them, not me. If it's anybody, it's me.
All right. George, it's you.
You're damn right it's me.
Finally did it. Went for coffee.
You went for a coffee with a woman?
In my hungover state. New York state of mind.
So this was today?
No, this is Saturday.
Saturday.
So it was previously arranged. I think we arranged it Friday that we would meet up for coffee before she took her shift at the local hospital. We'll meet at the Starbucks. And then I said, oh, how about the Starbucks by the brew house? You know, it's a nice little Starbucksy area. And then she's like, oh, the one by the mall. I was like, no.
She's new.
You're from out of town.
She's new. Okay, so?
So, 12:30, Starbucks across from the mall. Good, we'll see you then. Saturday,
fantastic. It's a pretty neutral. It's not a very homey Starbucks. It's pretty neutral and cold.
Yeah, that's why I suggested the newer location.
So you didn't want to get it too homey.
She knew where it was, and I was like, hey, you're from out of town. I'll understand. First off, it was 12:30. That's when we were supposed to meet. She was there at 12.
Uh-oh.
Early bird gets the worm. So I get the text. I'm already here, but don't rush. I was like, oh, God. So I rush over, and we meet. We sit down. I chat. We chat. Have a coffee. I ordered a mocha chocolata. I don't know what I ordered, to be honest. It was $5, though. And it was good. It was a good conversation.
So you liked her in person?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
She looked good?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. So she looks good. You like her? And what are you going to do?
I don't know.
New date? What new time?
Same bad channel?
Perhaps.
Why not? Perhaps.
Yeah. I think you should.
Taking suggestions at hashtag what will I do next on the It's a Show pod Twitter.
And you know what? I couldn't help but notice when you were firing up all of your Facebook windows and your windows is there's two messages waiting for you on your match.com.
Going to the Gmail. What's your email provider?
I don't even know what that means.
Do you Gmail? Do you Hotmail? Do you Outlook?
I have them all.
I think you do. Yes.
If I log into my Hotmail right now, I guarantee you there's 500 unread messages because somehow that thing is connected to my Facebook thing. And then every time somebody says something about me on Facebook, it comes as
You need to change your notification
settings. I did, but it wouldn't do it.
It didn't take. See, match.com. Singles day at the shooting range. Well, that's interesting. Sunday, March 30th.
Shooting range is fun.
I've never been.
Not to the Edmonton one.
$39. But, so that's
a good deal.
They're trying to get me out there to meet the singles and fire it up.
Seriously, that's a good deal.
That's good. See, 24 new matches. I haven't been on the site in forever.
Holy moly. Okay.
What is that? What am I looking at? Okay, I have to remember how to get into here.
Look at this guy. What's this tattoo face guy? I saw somebody who's got a boyfriend with on Facebook, and it's got the whole face,
no,
and neck tattoos, and I'm going,
and I can't get.
Seriously?
See, this is why.
I don't understand that.
This is why love has failed me now.
Yeah, you're not marked up enough.
Basically, everyone knows what dating websites do. You get matches. You're supposed to creep them on Facebook or on the profile and the photos. If you like them, send a message.
So creeping is encouraged on Match.com.
Well, I creep. Like, when I say by creep, I mean look.
Yeah.
Like, for example, okay, let us play through this.
Okay.
Let me just, this is how I search through my matches. I have 7 matches. Okay. First off, mirror selfie is your primary photo. Get real.
Not happening.
Do not take a mirror selfie. So right now, I am not impressed.
Okay.
Because it's 2014. You don't have to have your photo in the mirror with you holding the phone.
I don't understand.
See, this is a nice photo.
Yeah, but a little bit of crazy eyes.
Selfie. And
slightly crazy eyes.
Then you got the friend photo. Which one are you? I don't know because I think I like your friend a little more now. And then this.
Lying on the sofa.
It's just a lot of hair to the right. I don't know if I can deal with that. But cute glasses photo. I like that.
Good glasses. I agree.
Bad glare, but good glasses. I know it's not. See, another mirror selfie.
And the tiger shirt. The tiger shirt's all the rage.
To see what your bathroom looks like. And
selfie driving.
Selfie driving. That
loves the selfies.
Doesn't encourage.
I don't get the selfies, man. Like, you know what?
Well, you have to take pictures of your face. And if you're alone like me, the selfie is the only way to go. So then we judge the photos.
You could go to Sears and get a portrait sitting done.
Judge the photos. Now I read this blurb under the photo, right? It's the who, what, when, where. She's from my city. She's 22. She's 5'8", athletic and toned. Has kids, yes. One at home. Smoke, no way. That's good. Social drinker, I'm okay with that. Wants kids. All right. So then I go over and I try to read the in her own words. So she's got a daughter. She's two. She's important, of course. She's on her first year of nursing. They're always nurses. And so, yeah.
Always nurses.
I will. So now I can go yes, no, maybe. If I click yes, she'll be notified that I'm interested. If I click no, she disappears. She doesn't know. If I go maybe, she doesn't know, but it's a possible.
It's a keeper.
Yeah.
In the keeper pile.
So let's go. Why not? Let's click
yes. Oh, you don't like the selfie, though.
I don't, but I can look past it.
So that's how it goes. Okay.
So you could write them right away, too. If you click yes, you can add in some blurbage.
Yeah. And but, give them an idea of your personality.
Could. How about this 32-year-old? She's a surfer. Dog slayer. Nice hair. Frankenstein situation. Not really into that, but that's okay.
This would be the best reality game
divorced
ever.
Divorced and children. So, goodbye.
Oh, my God. This is fun.
Oh, look at this.
Never married.
30.
She has kids and they live at home.
Kids live at home. They always have kids. But she's cute. She's blonde.
She's got a lot of kids.
Those are her kids.
She's got three kids.
Oh my Lord.
They're cute kids.
They
boom.
So this is where I struggle.
But she might so what happened?
Because I don't make a lot of money. I can barely afford my own self. Not saying that I'm going to provide for three kids, but hey.
That picture looks a lot different than the other picture too. You go back one.
This smile's not
doing it. Go back one right there, and he's got the earring in the face.
No face earrings. People, ladies, if you're listening, do not earring your face. Please. I don't want none of that. Nose rings I can handle. Not the face, lip, cheeks.
Cheek situation. Things. Is this the weird?
Unfortunately, I cannot approve of this profile. Now, this is the Three Hills chick I talked to you about. Remember a couple episodes ago, Three Hills chick?
Yeah.
She's a teacher. They're always teachers or nurses, as I said. Went to the UFC.
Those are good careers, though.
She said she was interested. I wrote her, if I'm not mistaken. She did not write back.
Oh, no.
That's offensive to me, but I'm going to click yes anyways. And only one
dog lover.
Only one profile
picture. She likes camping. You like camping. That's good.
Only one profile picture. Get real. this one's from a city south of us, which is, I don't want to travel if I don't have to, but hey.
That's what looks completely different from the last picture.
Hold on.
That's not even the same person.
This photo we're looking at, she's in a bathing suit, by the looks of it, laying on her living room rug, and there's a pug in the corner. A pug is photobombing her bikini photo in her living room situation. What is happening?
Oh, you're killing me. Oh, and look, it looks like completely different. Now she's Asian now. How does this even work?
Yeah, see?
That's a weird one. I'd stay away from that whole profile. Get off that right now.
Because how do we exit?
She's somehow spammed out of here.
No. We haven't even read any profiles. We're just judging on photos. No.
Nope.
This is already a no.
It's just a visual assessment.
No. Sorry, ladies.
Are you sure?
And we're done.
The most attractive one there was fooling because the cover shot was money. And then you dug deeper into this situation and it wasn't that great.
I have a quick rundown for you. My friend Adam lives in the building next to me and he's been off and on texting with this accountant girl.
Yeah.
She claims that she is so busy. Yes, it's tax season. I understand. But we're all busy.
Yeah.
Make time for the guy. She's interested because they've went on a couple dates, but she'll text, then disappear. Then text, then disappear.
So he replies back and he never hears from her.
He's eager. He's interested. He's engaging. He's making the right moves. He's like,
yeah.
Oh. What's happening here? And something. But she's just like, yeah, sure. Like,
yeah.
Interested, but
you
not
did
interested.
You did take your sweet little old time with the nurse girl, though.
It's just in. Stu's number.
Okay. Here we go, because I got to get groceries.
What are you doing?
Getting ready to kick some mad flavor in your ear.
No.
BCSR switches on.
Okay, Victor.
Landing rocket arm switches on. Here comes the throttle. Circuit breakers in.
We have the technology.
My dad says if a lot of people listen to this show, we can afford an Xbox.
Ah, yes!
That was embarrassing.
Hey, kids, put your Walkmans down and listen up.
There's a microphone to pick up sound, an amplifier to make the sound louder, and a receiver or earphone to pass it along to the ear.
Stand by to receive our transmission.
Time for What the Hell Is This Song About with this week's special guest, Stu Jeffries. There we go. Oh, we got her.
Hello.
Stu.
Yeah.
It's GA and Sparky ready to roll with It's a Show.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. You got a secure line?
Absolutely. Hold on just one sec. I'm just going to go to another room here. And hold on a sec. Let me find another room here. Got guys watching the Leaf game. Just about ready for bedtime. So
I watched a lot of Stu Jeffries' Good Rockin' Tonight footage that's available for your viewing pleasure on YouTube, and we'll link a bunch on our It's a Show Facebook. And man, I kind of forgot. I knew you were a big deal, but I kind of forgot how big of a big deal you were in the 80s. You had conversations with every top charting music artist and group in the world.
You know, it's funny you say, like you forgot or didn't know. I forgot too. And as a matter of fact, just a couple of days ago, one of the guys who worked as a production assistant on the set of Good Rockin' Tonight sent a little compilation he put together of our second to last show, which was show number 500 and something or other. And I had forgotten that the show lasted 10 seasons, which is, never mind for CBC, for any network, for something to last that long is just completely unheard of. And then the things that he put in this compilation was just incredible. I mean, towards the later part of that show, we went on movie junkets, and we were billed as presenters, which was great. We didn't have to critique the movie. We'd just talk to the stars of the movie and then bring it back and explain to everybody what the show was about and from the words of the actors and actresses themselves. And he sent this thing of these collage or montage of interviews that I did with people, and I had completely forgotten. And to look at it, it's just like, oh, wow, that's right. I did talk to him. And, oh, yeah, I did talk to her. And it's awesome that somebody like yourself perceives that and looks at me that way. And it's like I'm blown away and honored. And when people now, you know, say, hey, listen, I used to watch that show all the time, or I used to see you all the time, and that had such an influence on my life, or I watched it every Friday night or Saturday night and it meant so much to me, or you're the reason I got into broadcasting or whatever. And you're kind of like, wow, that's amazing, considering I can't remember any of it myself.
We have a feature on the show. It's called Who's Awesome?
You're Awesome.
Right. And we're dedicating that whole feature to you. Stu Jeffries is awesome. There's no getting around it. And I got to know, do you still have that sweet Melton and Leather CBC jacket that you were wearing? You still have that?
You know, I do. I do. As actually, my middle son, Leo, who's 10 years old now, will always go down and throw on the GRT jacket. And then he puts on a fedora, too, and then walks up in front of everybody and says, hey, everybody, I'm Stu Jeffries. And it's pretty funny. But yeah, as with anything, you don't know it because you're in it at the time.
Right.
But when you look back on it, or somebody looks back on it for you, you kind of go, wow, I guess, you know, I guess that was important, or important is kind of a strong word. I guess that was significant.
Yeah, you were the window to pop culture for all of us, because we had no full-time video channels. There was no YouTube. There was nothing, no internet. And we got to see these videos. And you're the one thing that I was always impressed with you is you a great interviewer, but you had this affable style and you didn't flaunt the fact that you were talking to these people. You just got to the heart of the matter, the meat and the potatoes, explained the videos, let us get a little window of insight into the stars' lives. Plain and simple, you're just good at it. That's it.
Well, yeah. Thanks. You know what? I grew up on that show, and you know, I remember my first interviews on it, and you know, when the producer of the show, Ken Gibson, the director was Michael Watt and Patsy Gill. They were two of the many that sort of had a hand in it. And I remember I learned so much from them, but it got to a point where after about the third or fourth year, I realized that the best possible interview that I could get would be one that's a conversation. And I learned early on that, and this sounds, and you know this, Greg, and it's that the most important part of the interview is that you listen. And although it sounds really simple, that's exactly what it is. If you don't listen to the response to the question that you just asked and are more concerned about the next question you're going to ask, or you're more concerned with trying to be clever, or more concerned with, I know so much about you and I'm going to show it off, then you miss the whole point of the interview and the conversation. And I learned that early. And thank you for saying that. I prided myself on being
a person that you could kind of sit down and have a chat with as opposed to an interview. And I look back, although, you know what, I look back on some people have VHS recordings that they've since uploaded to YouTube. And I look back on, you know, some of the questions I asked and went, oh my God, why would you do something like that? But it's like, you know, you're learning as you go along. And now, you know, when you sit down and talk to somebody and they say, hey man, we talked in 1984 and you're like, oh, cool, good. And we kind of know each other. This is great.
Yeah. Well, I really wish you would have given me these tips before I did a freaking interview show. And I remember that when I had that epiphany to start listening and actually having the conversation instead of trying to get my funny one-liners and my all my knowledge from the research
it's
I did
so
for the
important,
full.
Isn't it? Yeah. It's so important, isn't it? Yeah.
Because I blew so many interviews because of that, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And you know, when you realize, as soon as you realize that people aren't tuning in to see me ask questions, they're tuning in to hear Tom Cruise give the answers, or they're tuning in to hear Madonna say what she thinks about her latest video. They don't want to hear me. And God, there's so much of that out there right now. It just drives you nuts where it's like, I don't care about your long-winded question. Get to the question so that I can hear the answer. And that's why you're there. You're a facilitator. You're not, you know, a show-off. And I had a producer that drove that home all the time. So
another great example from that era was Bob Coburn on Rockline. He would just interview the people and get out of the way. Let them answer. You know?
Exactly. And that's it, right? I mean, nobody cares how much you know.
Is it true that you unceremoniously got Terry David Mulligan kicked off that show so you could become famous?
Is that no, what not true at all. Not true at all. I was an old school radio guy and I didn't like video shows. I thought that the fact that they were making music videos over songs that, I mean, remember the early argument? It was like, oh no, I don't like videos because I used to think the song was about this and now you've shown me it's about that and it's taken away my whole, you know, perspective of the song and that. So I was totally against that and I was totally against TV. I thought, no man, radio's where it's at and I still believe that with all my heart. And when the show opportunity came along, Terry's contract had run out. I'm not sure, but I think he asked for something a little longer and the powers that be weren't ready to commit to that, particularly because the show was done out of Vancouver. And although it was national, and boy, being here in Toronto now, I feel this more than ever. You know, if Toronto doesn't know about it, or if it happens outside of Toronto, it doesn't exist, right? And it back then, it was even worse. So you kind of felt that you were on your own, and the mountains in Vancouver act as a great boundary. So you're kind of on your own out there. And CBC in Toronto, who were pulling all the strings and making all the final decisions, thought that we don't know how long it's going to last. And Terry, I guess, had asked, I think, again, I don't hold me to this, but I think he had asked for something like a year. Video killed the radio star. Video killed the radio star. And they were like, no, we're only prepared to go 13 weeks. And Terry said, you know what, forget it. I'm going to go on to something else. And I had done some work with CBC in Regina. They did a show called The Fame Game. And every CBC in every capital city in Canada had done the show. And each show had its own particular host. And it was a battle of the bands type of show. And I hosted the Regina round. And I guess the producer in Vancouver had hung on to that tape. He liked what I did. And when Terry was not coming back anymore, he phoned me and said, would you be interested in coming for an audition? And again, so here's me, Mr. Anti-Video, and I'm like, okay, sure. And I went and did my audition, and then they auditioned several others, and I was lucky enough to get it. So, no, I didn't kick him out at all. He was gone, and they were looking for a replacement.
I have to come clean right now. This whole interview is just a ruse because we want to talk about Love Handles. Man, I can't believe that show was awesome. It was like the entire set was mauve. You were mauve. Yeah, mauve jackets. And then you were, you know, you had a toaster oven that people were competing for.
Hey, you know, let's not forget that the lovely parting gifts included a sausage ring and a coffee cup. That was pretty cool.
The announcer was David Kay, one of the most celebrated, talented voiceover artists ever.
Absolutely. And I will tell you, I hear more about that show than anything else. And I will tell you that that is probably, and I mean this without a word of a lie, the most fun I've ever had doing TV. The producer of that show was Blair Murdoch out of Vancouver. And Blair is a great guy and still remains a great friend of mine to this day. And by his own admission, he does meatball television. It's like, I will do 52 episodes of anything and then I will run it ad nauseum. But
you have to sign off on the fact that you get paid for just the first round, and then after that, the rest is all mine. And it works for him because every game show network or every digital TV network that comes up that needs filler will always go to one of his products.
Right.
And I'll never forget the contract for the show. He gave it to me and he said, you know, would you be interested? And I looked at it. And I remember there were a couple of things, and I can't remember what they are, that I wanted to ask him about. He said, pointed to the line, he said, now sign here, and that sound you hear is your career being flushed down the toilet. I love you. And you know what? If he phoned me tomorrow and said, let's do another show together, I would, because he is so much fun. And that show was so much fun. It was great.
Oh, man. Canadian television, digging around. Do you remember Definition and Headline Hunters?
For sure. Who will ever forget the Hager double knit slacks that you got for a party?
Yeah. Man,
and Jim Perry. Jim Perry was the host of those shows.
If we could bring back Jim Perry, and I remember watching, I think we talked about this, Jim Perry, one day he was just like normal hair color, and the next episode he had jet black hair. And I'm going, what the hell? I'm a kid on the farm. I've never heard of hair dye. I don't even know if that's possible. And I'm going, what happened to Jim?
I know. And if I'm not mistaken, it got thicker too. Like, yeah. I don't know what Jim Perry did, but God, that was funny. Canadian game shows were so great in that I think they were really funny. And I think that just the prizes they were offering were just so weak. It was great.
That's what we have to do. We got to get weak prizes for It's a Show. That's our next.
I think that's the key to your success. Weak prizes, and you know, get a good voiceover guy to introduce you. And I think you're laughing.
Strong guests, weak prizes. And what about if you still got linkage with David Kay? I'll get him to voice over the show. That'd be awesome.
Oh yeah, you know what, Dave? I think the last time I spoke with Dave was probably about 5 or 6 years ago, and he's planted in Los Angeles right now and doing real well. But I had the pleasure of working with him in Vancouver on a couple of other projects too. And what a great guy. He's got the voice you all want, right? He's the dude, no question.
I don't know if I told you this before, but your little brother had a part in my career. When I was at CKOM, that was my first like real station that I got to. And it was my 5-year goal. And I got there after a year and a half to do all nights. And I was stressed out of my mind. And he was the night guy, and he trained me. He showed me how to use the board. Todd Richards.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
Yeah, let me tell you something. He goes by Todd Schick now, and Todd's got his own voiceover business happening.
That's right.
It's really working well for him, yeah. And you know what? He'll still tell you everything you did wrong. Just give him a call, and he'd be more than happy.
That sounds like my brother.
He'd be more than happy to tell you at great lengths what you're doing wrong. But I just talked to him last week. Todd's doing really well. He was one of those guys that was on the forefront of online voiceover, and you know, you can hear his stuff all over the place. He always manages to land a good gig, and he's doing really well.
Well, one thing I remember about him when he was training me is he would always have his papers, like his music log and everything, and he'd be shuffling it like crazy. His right hand would be going just and moving stuff around, and I'm going, he's going to have a nervous breakdown. I don't know what's going on.
I think most of Todd's nervous conditions is because we shared a bedroom together when we were kids, and I would, you know, wake him up in the middle of the night by slapping him with a yardstick if he was snoring or whatever. So I think that's where all that comes from.
Might have had something to do with it. Okay, let's get to our segment. It's called What the Hell Is This Song About? And I believe from our last communique on Facebook, you wanted to tackle Walk Like an Egyptian from the Bengals.
It makes absolutely no sense to me. I thought when I saw the title, for the first time I saw the title without hearing the song, I thought that this was going to be one of those novelty sort of dance songs. But it ended up being a really weird kind of cool pop song with lyrics like foreign tights with the hookah pipes say ayo, ayo. All the cops in the donut shops, the waitresses that spin their trays, they sing and dance. Like really weird stuff that had nothing to do with Walking Like an Egyptian. And it was Walk Like an Egyptian that kind of tied the whole song together, that one line. And to this day, I haven't figured it out. I talked to Susanna Haas about it, and she actually said it's a fun song and never really went into great detail about it. So I kind of assume it was one of those things that was just kind of thrown together on a whim, but ended up being a monster hit for them. Foreign types with the hookah pipes might still be my favorite line in pop music today. And I think, you know, they made it work.
The one thing I remember about this song in particular, before radio, I was in ag school, and I got in college, and we had a bar called The Zoo. And Thursday night was bar night. So we'd go to the Brunswick first, see what was hopping at the country bar. Then we'd go to the Zoo, and this would play, and the girls would jump on the speakers and be dancing. And I'm going, this is the best song ever. Like,
I know.
That's what I remember about that song.
What I liked about it too was it was like they were an all-girl group.
And, you know, even if you, you know, were a mild fan of pop rock, you could still like that song and still be cool. You could still say, I dig the Bangles and throw out Walk Like an Egyptian and nobody would hassle you for it, right? If you did I Love the Bangles cover of Hazy Shade of Winter, you'd be kind of chastised a little bit. But I think if you just went straight up with Walk Like an Egyptian, nobody would come down on you for it. So I like that.
Wrong, and you've talked to Susanna Hoffs at close distance. Are the girls Lebanese, perhaps?
You know what? I didn't get that. I think that maybe she might be, there might be a hint of that. But oh my God, the sweetest girls in rock and roll. And, you know, almost.
See, that surprises me because they look angry.
They are so cool. And you know what? So were the Go-Go's. And I found the Go-Go's were the same way. Like, they were sort of trailblazing, and you thought that they would come in with attitude, and no way. Belinda Carlisle and all those girls were so amazing and so accommodating. And yeah, there was no toot whatsoever. Just so long as you weren't going in like a wank saying, you know, so what about this women in rock thing? You know, I'm sorry, women in rock's been happening forever and a day. But they were so cool. And Bangles were the same. And I got a soft spot in my heart for the Bangles. I really like them. If there was to be a reunion, I would definitely go and check them out because I think they had a handle on how to deliver a great, great pop tune, and they were great live, too.
Thanks for the conversation. We truly appreciate your time. We know you're a busy husband, father. You got kids and hockey all over the place. You got to get up and do your own morning show, and this was really appreciated. We, of course, solved nothing about the Bangles Walk Like an Egyptian, as we knew we wouldn't. To close the interview, Stu, here's the thing about what the hell is this song about, this segment. You have to provide us with somebody in your Rolodex that you think would make a good guest musicologist so that we can pursue a different song.
Wow. Guest musicologist.
Somebody like, you know, that's got some level of notoriety and a lot of Twitter followers, we're hoping. And then because we're trying to spread the virus that is It's a Show throughout the globe. And we're working on, I can tell you honestly, we're working on Kim Mitchell right now.
Right.
Larry Gowan.
Oh, man. I mean, I got to throw Tom Cochran out there, who is not only like a musicologist freak, but also like, oh, my God, passionate about, you know what I love about him? And actually, you know what? Kim and Larry Gowan are exactly the same. These guys freaking still love what they do. And they've seen, you know, the greatest successes, and then they've seen the sort of comeback road that follows. And they have not only endured, but still dig with a passion what they do. Boy, you got to put Cochran in there. Oh, and Alan Frew from Glass Tiger. There's another guy you got to put in that.
Oh, he's got the great accent, too.
You know what? If there's going to be a guy that you want to have on that's not only going to be bring the passion and the love of the industry, but also an unbelievable sense of humor, it's Ray McGuire from Trooper. I don't think there's anyone better. And I guarantee you that if you did at Ray McGuire, that's RAMCGUIRE for Twitter, and you said, just finished talking to Stu, he said we need to have at Ray McGuire on, I guarantee you he will be all over that. And he is a wonderful interview.
Okay, now here's the thing, Stu. He was my first choice of guests ever for this whole gag, and I reached out to him, and he said, I don't think we're going to have time for that right now. And so we've talked about this a few, you know, like rejection's never easy, and I don't take it well. I never have. And I agree. I think because he's so in the fabric of my childhood and upbringing with all the Trooper hits, and I had all the A-tracks and blah, blah, blah. And then I thought, yeah, we got to have this guy. It'll be gold. And declined like my Interact card.
You know what? You got to do it again. And you know what? I'll get behind you on this. And if you talk to him about Boys in the Bright White Sports Car, he tells amazing stories about that song, about how it isn't even really a song, and yet it turned out to be one of their trademark hits. So, you know what? I'll make it my mission.
If you make that your mission, and I mean, throw us a bone with Tom Cochran too, if you want. Like, I'd be intimidated by Tom Cochran and maybe Ray McGuire. Now, I didn't think I would be ever before, but now I think I am. And
no, you know what, Greg, you'll love them both. They're just both so good, and they're both, you know, and as you know, it's like, you're prepared, they're prepared, and they're just so much fun to talk to, and they just have so many stories to tell. And another guy too, whose stories change all the time. I think he may give the best successive interviews ever. You know, like if he was to go coast to coast and have to do an interview in every city and tell a different story, he'd be able to. It's Randy Bachman. Amazing.
Oh, yeah.
And oh my God. And the stories he tells, and he's so accommodating. And all you have to do is mention how much, and I was raised in Winnipeg, so it was easy for me, but you just mentioned Winnipeg once, and you are friends for life with Randy. That's all you need to know.
Sparky, what do you think of this? We conference call Stu, and he can do the interviews, and we'll just listen like fans. That'd be gold. And you know,
guys, you know what? I'd be happy to. If you want to go that route too, that'd be great.
That's awesome, Matt. Time's going to tell, because every time we have a guest on, we just patiently wait by our Facebook inbox to see what happens next. So we're waiting for numbers from you. But I tell you, you should get back on the radio with an interview show. Yeah, the morning show is one thing, and you know full well it's a different animal. We got to do traffic, weather. We got to, you know, placate all the sponsors and all that stuff. But an interview show, I don't think you're done with your interviewing yet, because you are great at it, and you could be, you know, like a full-length, hour-long Charlie Rose-type radio show. That'd be awesome.
Oh, Greg, that's really, you know what, that's so nice of you, and it's, you know, it's really funny that it was the part that I liked the least when I was doing it, when, especially at Good Rocket. Bands were coming through that you'd listen to the album and you go, oh my God, like I don't see a future. And yet you're going to have to sit down across from them and sort of talk about, hey, great album.
You know,
way to go. I cannot remember the name of the band, but I will never forget sitting across from them. And I was saying, well, you're a brand new band, but what's the key to longevity? What's going to keep you around while everybody else is such a tough, tough market right now? And it's so very much a business. What's going to keep you guys hanging around? And he answered with, it's the songs. It's the quality of the songs. And I remember I had the back of the album in my hand, and I happened to look at, you know, track number 10 on the album that was called Lick My Hole. And I thought, okay, so that is going to be, the song. It's about the songs, right?
Oh.
And you're like, okay.
most of these guys were like, although appreciative of the fact that they were getting some airplay and they got some video play, knew that, you know, they weren't going to be around for a while. But as the years went by, I didn't like it at the time for that reason and for other reasons too. It can be a real stressful thing. You want to make sure your research is done. And sometimes people call you on things and maybe you're not as prepared as you could be or whatever. But now, when I look back on it, and the people that I used to talk to will still come into studio and say, man, you were so good, or man, that was so much fun, or I remember when you did this or that, and you kind of go, wow, that's great, and it makes me want to do it more. And, you know, you come at it from a different point, too, when you're a father, and, you know, you've been down the road, and that your career has sort of gone through there, and now you're kind of in a different part of your career. You come at your questions from a different standpoint, and it's a lot more fun and a lot more entertaining. To be honest with you, my big... before I die, all I really want to do is this is weird, but it's been on my bucket list forever. All I want to do is deliver a monologue. I want to do a late night monologue. I want to walk out, be introduced, deliver 10 jokes, get some laughs, and then say good night. And then that'd be it. That'd be the last you see of me. That was my lifetime ambition.
You should call Shaw Cable.
Yes, exactly. It's bound to happen there.
You know what? You never know, man. Strombo's done with the talk show, so maybe they'll be looking for a new alternative.
The list is all CBC currents. You know, Jan Gomeshi is probably going to get it, or somebody like that, and certainly deserves it.
I don't know, man. After this interview hits the world, I think you're a shoo-in. we have 71 likes on Facebook, dude.
Are you kidding me? Then if we get that baby up to 100 and I deliver my first monologue, I will totally credit you.
Rockstar.
Totally credit you with
it. I look forward to it, man. It's going to happen. Well, thanks for your time, Stu. And all the best to you and the family.
Greg, that's so awesome. Thank you so very much for your time, too. And thanks for, I'm glad we could finally make this happen. And all the best to you guys. I look forward to hearing it.
Okay, we'll be waiting for Ray McGuire.
All right, man.
Canadian entertainment icon Stu Jeffries on It's a Show podcast. Like us on Facebook and Twitter. Share with your friends. And remember, keep in touch. Finger guns.
Along with CBC's daily daytime music video program, Video Hits, with Samantha Taylor, I think it was. The program typically aired popular music videos interspersed. Can you give us a good rockin' tonight just to close out this bad boy?
You know what? I haven't done that in years. I can't promise this will be very effective. But make sure you join us next week for interviews with and videos by Platinum Blonde, Duran Duran, and the Gowan Trivia winners on the next installment of Good Rockin' Tonight.